Amen. What a blessing it is to be home and hear those familiar voices, people we've known for many years. It always encourages our soul. I want to thank you right now also for having the live stream. Often we get to watch those at different times or listen to the podcast. They are great blessings in our lives to stay in touch with you, as well as things like social media. And even though we are far away, we keep tabs and pray for many of you. And it's just a wonderful blessing to be back. Well, if you would open your Bibles this evening to Acts chapter 1, we're going to be kind of going through the book of Acts very briefly and very quickly this evening. As we concentrate on this idea, we talk about missions tonight, the great unfinished task. Isn't it great to be in the Lord's house no matter how bad your football team is? Isn't it great just to come and see people with smiling faces and realize the things of this world don't really matter that much? Probably tomorrow night some of us will have sour faces as well. You know, just that stuff doesn't matter. It'd be in the Lord's house talking about things that last for eternity. Amen. So if you are physically able, if you would, stand to your feet this evening. We're going to read one verse this evening. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but it's going to set us on our path tonight as we consider this great unfinished task. The Bible reads in Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. We ask you to clear our minds from the distractions of this world. We ask you to help us focus in through your Holy Spirit to understand and maybe to grab a hold of, again, the great need, the great task that we are to do on your behalf, Lord, with your power. It's an impossible task without you. Lord, help us to understand where we fit in this equation, where we fit in this commission. And Lord, tomorrow even, give us a new fervor to go out and help us be salt and light and make influence, and yet also understand the grand scope of this great task and what we can do praying, giving and going. Lord, thank you for so many people dedicated to this commission. And I pray you just stir our hearts this evening. So we ask this in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So as I mentioned earlier this morning, we started this morning focusing on our individual hearts in this area of how we need to transform our lives, first of all, to be salt and light, to have influence in this world. But tonight we're going to talk about collectively as a church body, what we can do to finish and work in this unfinished task there is in world missions. And when we talk about world missions, we're talking about the great commission of our dear Lord, as we saw right here in Acts chapter 1. We understand this commission is to go testifying the name of Jesus Christ and his glorious gospel to all parts of the earth. And you notice here, the Lord gives us a geographical order that we're to start. It says, beginning in Jerusalem. We know Jerusalem for us today is where we live, our surrounding areas. Then we're to go to Judea. That is our neighboring, maybe we would say provinces or states. Then we notice Samaria, our neighboring countries. And then eventually to every people group, every nation in the world. What an amazing testimony tonight by the Gross family. And to hear people learning different languages and meeting with different people groups. It's amazing. Just in our one town, how we mentioned this morning, we meet with three. They're not three different people groups, but three different cultures of people. Some poor, some middle class, some in the country. So many who have never either once heard the name of Christ or never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And we're to go out to all those areas with this gospel message. And how can we do this? Well, Christ gives us this commission. Now, we know this is a large task, an impossible task for man, but not for God. And that's what we want to focus our hearts in this evening. Today, we're going to focus on this great task or commission given by Christ, because there's never been a more critical and crucial time in our lives to be involved as a church, be involved as a church body, everyone getting involved so the gospel can go forth. Pastor was mentioning about the Papua New Guinea Bible Project and how many millions of dollars it was costing for one little island for just the children in the school system to get a Bible. We understand that is a great task. And when we can think of that in respect to the world and places, continents like Africa and countries like China, how vast that task is. And when we think as one church, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And that's what this commission Christ has given us this evening, or we were noticing this evening. And if there's nothing you remember about this message, remember this indelible phrase: Christ's last command should be our first priority. The last words of Jesus Christ should be our priority in our lives. And priorities are so important. It determines what we do in our lives. And the last thing Christ told his disciples, that he told the first church, that we would go forth to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So very briefly this evening, we're going to take a look at three important components that a church that desires to be missions minded will fulfill in trying to fulfill God's great commission. Now, you have to understand, I know that we're preaching to the choir tonight. In fact, it's funny. This week we are at a church for a missions emphasis Sunday or a Wednesday, and the pastor had tried his best. I believe it was the first missions conference, and the last day of the conference, I'm a pastor, I understand this, it was a low turnout. In fact, just about the only people there were the choir. And so when the choir came down, the missionary got up to speak, and he says, "Now I'm preaching to the choir." And they had a good laugh about that because they knew what that meant. Well, tonight I know I'm preaching to the choir when I'm talking about people who understand missions, who love missions, who for now, decade after decade, have sent out people in your own midst, even now, increasing your love for missions. So I know you are a missions-minded church, but I believe Pastor and the staff have desired to have this Mission Emphasis Sunday just to get us back on track, back fervently thinking about missions. I know what it's like as we get into the holiday season as a pastor, even in the Dominican Republic. Our thoughts and our minds start going in different directions. And what Pastor, I believe, wants us to do tonight, what we want to do through the Word of God, is just to refocus our mind and our priorities on what is the most important thing. And the most important thing is telling others about Jesus Christ. And so the purpose of a missions-minded church, as you well know, is the expansion of the kingdom of God. We're here to reflect God's glory, give him glory, and to help expand the kingdom of God. This first church, as we see in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Acts, we see that they had a very big day. Who knows what that day was called? The day of Pentecost. And how many people got saved on the day of Pentecost? 3,000 people. Now, that's a big day, okay? That's a big day. Last week, I was overjoyed to get a report from our teammates that there were three people saved in church. I was overjoyed. Now, when you compare three people to 3,000, that's a big day. And those people, they were saved. I can't even imagine. They didn't even have a church building. I can't imagine trying to organize those people. And we see that that church grew. But if you remember Christ's commission to the disciples, to that first church, it was that they were to go to Jerusalem and then where? Judea. And then where? Samaria. And then where? The othermost part of the earth. Well, it appears as if even though they had this amazing day where 3,000 people got saved from all different places in the Middle East, they stayed in Jerusalem. And, you know, sometimes we know what we're supposed to do, but we just don't do it. And so sometimes God will push us in different directions. And if you would, turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 8. Seven different chapters, or if you start in chapter 2 of Acts and come to chapter 8, we've gone through six different chapters. And the church of Jerusalem is still growing, still doing wonderful things, but it's still just in Jerusalem. And we notice after the stoning of Stephen, and we pick up the story here in verse 1 of Acts chapter 8, and we notice what happens. It says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," that's the death of Stephen, "and at that time there was a great persecution against them in the church, which was at," where was it say, "Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions." Notice the regions where God sends them, to Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. God brought on persecution to send them to do what they were supposed to do originally. A missions-minded church, a local New Testament church, our mission is to expand the kingdom of God, is to go forth and tell others about Jesus Christ so they may receive him. God will use, brothers and sisters, many different ways. I pray for us it's not through persecution. That was a very extreme case. But God will sometimes change our job. God will send us in different directions so that we can accomplish his will. In my case, it was hearing the testimony of men up here one Sunday evening, hearing about a mission trip they went on, that burdened my heart to go on a mission trip. And God used that mission trip for me to get in the center of his will. And you don't have to go on a mission trip, and you don't even have to be a missionary, obviously, to go forth and declare his glory, declare his gospel. You just need to be willing to do what God asks you to do. But we all need to open our mouths and preach Jesus in the places that we are. That's the principal purpose of a missions-minded church, is to expand the kingdom of God. Now, that sounds real good. How do we do that practically? Well, we see that, too, in the book of Acts, and that is to plant and to birth New Testament churches. Notice, if you would, just go a few chapters ahead in Acts 11. The way we expand God's kingdom is through his local New Testament church. It's how we bring people in. They're able to get saved, to get discipled, mature, growing in faith. One of my favorite things that we have done in the last 2 years, it wasn't in our slides, is every Tuesday night, we take the men of our church. These aren't necessarily preachers. These aren't future preachers. These are men who may be future deacons, fathers, young men. And we have a Tuesday night men's Bible doctrine class. And for 2 hours each Tuesday night, we just sit and go through different Bible doctrines. And it has been the most exciting thing to see these men grow in their faith and be able to tell others about the Lord, including their own families. That's what we're to do. We're to build local New Testament churches where we build believers. Notice chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution, we saw in chapter 8, that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Notice this. And some of them that were from Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. In the beginning, when they would come to these cities, they would just start in the synagogues. They would talk to the Jews. But you can almost see it in the words here. They couldn't hold back. The message they had, the transforming message of the gospel, was something they couldn't just tell the Jews. They had to tell their other fellow countrymen. They had to tell others about how they could be saved from their sins. And we see how God transformed an area because they could do nothing but tell others about Jesus. One of the fruits of this mission work from the Jerusalem church was this church in Antioch. And it's amazing how that Lord used that church in Antioch. We'll see much later on how God used that church to be the first church to send out other missionaries and eventually told the whole world about Jesus Christ. But it started with persecution. It started with someone who said, I got to get out of here. I got to do what God told me to do. And I don't know about you tonight. Maybe there's someone God is burdening your heart for. Maybe there's a neighbor or a coworker. Maybe there's a family member. Maybe there's someone you cross paths with and you felt the prick of the Holy Spirit. You know that you have the opportunity sometimes to tell them and you've rejected it. I pray that tonight you would reconsider that. You think about how God can open those doors for you to tell others about Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a young person who's never considered being part of God's will and doing what he wants you to do, whatever that may be. Tonight, we need to see, as a missions-minded church, we don't only want to expand the kingdom, but that is done practically through planting churches. That's what we saw tonight in the Gross's presentation. What a wonderful story about people who, they didn't even have a church. They were trying to start a church, and they said, come help us do that. Praise God, how God would send a family to meet that need. And now take them. I know when they talk about different Pentecostal families, we've had the same thing. People who they've read the Bible, they don't understand everything. They just want someone to teach them. Praise God when people respond to the call. But praise God when there's churches like ours behind them, sending them, praying them on, sending them support. It's everyone working together. What are some of the things we can do? Well, we know about praying. We say that. We talk about praying, but praying is so intentional. It's a meditative time where we take the things we know. We pray for missionaries. That's why we have prayer cards. That's why we have, I know you guys have prayer lists. We take time intentionally meditating on the needs of the missionaries, needs of church works around the world. I thank you so much for the encouragement we get. Very often, I know from the kiosk here, people will send messages to us, and I'll get them on my phone, and I'll respond if I can. And I'm so thankful people are thinking about us and praying about for us. God uses your prayers. Someone asked me tonight if we had any situations or conflicts or problems. And I said, God has really protected us well there. And I know one of those reasons is because you have been so fervent to pray for our safety. Keep praying to that end. Also, I know one of the things we do is we give. But we give more than just of our resources. This church is second to none in being faithful and generous in their giving of resources. But we can also give of our time and our talent. I think so many of you who have come and sweated and hopefully not bled too much, but helped out in our building our churches. And it's so much fun and camaraderie, but I know when you, I've worked another vacation, I've lived and had a job where I only had 2 or 3 weeks of vacation. And so to give up 1 of your weeks of vacation, to spend your own money and come serve us is something that means so much to us. And I try to tell that to the people who come. You understand, these people are giving great sacrifices of time and talent to come serve you, but ultimately to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of a missions-minded church, it's because we want to expand the kingdom of God through building local New Testament churches. And I know you know that, but we need to focus and have our heart. That's why we give. When you give your faith promise this month, you can think about the Johnson family. You can think about the Gross family. You can think about families like the Goins family, people who are on the ground building churches and building lives. And we can't be there. We get to be the representatives for you. And we thank you for that. And that's what a missions-minded church's purpose is. Now, what are some of the characteristics? Stay there in chapter 11. We're going to see some wonderful characteristics of a missions-minded church. Verse 27, Bible reads, "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples of every man according to his ability determined or purposed to send relief, to send funds unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did and sent it by the elders in the hands of Barnabas and Saul." One of the characteristics of a missions-minded church, and I know a characteristic of this church, is a church that is willing to share of its provision, to share of God's goodness and to share it with others. You see here in these verses that there was a famine in the time of Emperor Claudius. And this famine extended throughout the Roman Empire for many, many years. And the church in Antioch showed their generosity, giving their financial support, determining, purposing to give those of need. We also are very familiar as we study the chapters of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. We understand that same missionary offering that Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. And he's lauding the wonderful, generous gifts of the Macedonians. And we have this wonderful verse in verse 7 in chapter 9. "Every man according as he purposeth, as he determineth in his heart, so let him give." You know this, not grudgingly, not of necessity. For God loves a cheerful, God loves a hilarious giver. Hilarious in the idea of it is an overjoyed spirit to give to others. We remember what it's like to be in the Temple Baptist Missions Conference and to see the missionaries' faces as they receive the gifts. You know, we were on your side for many, many years, buying the gifts, and it was a joy. I remember as a member to be able to give to people and see their needs. And it's been a joy to be on the other side and a great gift. I remember the year we were here, I guess it was 2007, and the church very generously, a number of people, I think collectively, purchased a generator for us. That generator is still working wonderfully today. In fact, every time the power goes out in the Dominican, which sometimes is frequent, on a Sunday morning, we just fire up the generator and it runs the whole church. There were many cheerful givers, hilarious givers that night. And that's a great blessing. I can't tell you how many times the Lord has used gifts like that for his glory. Paul says in Galatians 6:10, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." A missions-minded church is hilarious givers, and they love to share their provisions. But the next step is even more difficult. Notice in chapter 13 now, a mission-minded church is willing to share its people. Some people are very willing to share of their resources and praise the Lord for that. But sometimes the most difficult thing to do is to share their people. Acts 13, very familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible reads, "Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord there in the church and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed," that's the church, "they laid their hands on them and they sent them away." It was the Holy Spirit that separated Paul and Barnabas to this work. He had a special purpose for them. But it's something, I've read that scripture over and over again, but recently the Lord really touched my heart. There's something in there that you don't see. You don't see opposition from the church by sending out Saul and Barnabas. Now, I don't know about you, but if I went to a church and there were five preachers and two of them were Saul and Barnabas, and one Sunday they stood up and said, you know, I believe we're going to be leaving to go be missionaries, I'd be saying, no. How about that Cyrene guy, Lucius guy? How would he go out? Or how about my name? Paul and Barnabas, these are our pastors. They're going out. And yet we see that they follow the Lord's will. I remember when I told Pastor, I was sat in his office and told him that I was going to be a missionary. And he was very overjoyed. He said, wonderful, that's great, good news. And then I remember telling him that once we got married, I would be taking Holly to be a missionary with me. And he and Pastor, and me and Brother Sam were like, I don't know about that. I'm not so sure about we want to lose Holly, but you can go. No, and it's kind of a package deal, all right, Pastor? But we see here that even though maybe the greatest missionary, Paul and Barnabas, that great encourager, they were working in the church, and we see the church was excited to send them forth. Now, I've experienced this last year. Pastor Ari and Brother Elias, there were not two finer men in our church. And I was so excited that whenever I needed them, they could preach and teach God's word. And within a year, they both wanted to go out and preach and teach somewhere else. That wasn't easy. But you know, the Lord will take them and he'll bless them. And then he'll rise up with more leaders. Because that's God's purpose for the local New Testament church. The missions-minded church, it requires, this is important. The missions-minded church requires that everyone is involved. You've heard of the 80-20 principle where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It doesn't work that way if we want to have a church that is focused on telling others about Jesus Christ. We must all be involved. That's why it's so vitally important, these seven for heaven, that you get in the habit of telling others about Jesus every opportunity you have, because your heart will be stirred. It's hard. It is hard to write a check for hundreds of dollars for missions if you can't give the person at Chick-fil-A a track. It all works together, and more moving our hearts to serving the Lord by telling others about Jesus Christ. There's a man in our church named Roberto. He got saved a number of years ago. He owns a used car lot. And just recently, the last couple of years, he has started helping missionaries, including myself, either ship in vehicles at reduced rates or find vehicles in the country at his cost. And he would just take his time and at reduced cost so that churches could have buses. And I thought, wow, he saw the need. And he desired to work hard and to take a loss, no profit, so that other churches could have buses to bring people in. I can't tell you how many people who have come on church buses all throughout the northern part of the Dominican Republic because this man decided, I'm going to use the resources I have at my disposal to serve the Lord. Everyone can do something in this area of missions. It may not always just be giving money. It may be giving your time and your talent. But the Lord says the characteristic of a missions-minded church is one that is willing to share its provision and share its people. Notice lastly that the direction of a missions-minded church comes from the Lord. We're going to skip over to Acts 16. The purpose is to expand the kingdom through the planting of New Testament churches. The characteristics are giving of our provision and giving of our people. But where does the direction come from? How do we know what we're going to do? Well, that comes from the Lord. Acts 16, we see Paul is being directed by God where to not go, and then later on where to go. Verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word where? In Asia. After they were come to Mysia and essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. It's interesting how God directs very clearly where his workers are to go. I remember hearing Jeremy's testimony for many years. He thought he would go to different countries. And I believe it was that same missions trip to Uganda where the men came back and had all the wonderful testimonies where God cleared it up in his mind where he was to go. It's the Lord that will direct our steps. Now, let me say this. He doesn't only direct our steps to where we're to go, but he also directs our steps how long we're going to be there. Sometimes God will call us to a certain area or a certain place, a certain church for a period of time. But when he does that, we are to be all there, 100% there, serving him and loving him because the Lord has directed our steps to that place. In our search for the will of God, we need to be sure that our will is in harmony with his will. I know so many of us, and maybe even as parents, and Holly and I are praying about this now, even for our kids, as they near the ages where we start thinking and praying about their futures. We want to be so careful that our plan is not against God's will. We don't want to have a plan. In fact, we want God's plan. We want to say, God, what do you want to do with our children? How can we help equip them so they can go in the right direction? But you can clearly direct them. It's the same with the church. I know pastor and the deacons, and you pray over which missionaries to take on, which missions trips to go on. And I was interested, pastor was talking about how they never send ladies on missions trips, except the one time in India. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. God, use that. But God, we pray for the direction, and that comes from the Lord when we are close to him. And so my question for you is a personal question. We hear that and we believe that, but the question is, are you doing that? Are you seeking for God's will? Are you seeking God's will and what you should do in the area of faith promise? Are you seeking God's will? You know, every time you hear someone come up and give a testimony about a missions trip, does God ever just tug on your heart and say, you need to go on the next one? And you think, oh, I don't want to give up the time. I don't want to give them money. It will change your life. It doesn't mean God's going to call you to the mission field. But it means God will work in your life in a way you've never seen before. He'll build your relationships with people here in this church. It's a camaraderie you'll have, a special love. Maybe it's giving. I know the teens sometimes need help going on missions trips. Anything you can do to further this area of missions, I know the Lord will bless you. It may not mean that you're going to go to the mission field, but there's no greater place to be than the center of God's will. I can tell you, young people, if I had known as an 18-year-old that I'd be a missionary, I probably would have been pretty scared. But now as someone who is 40 years old, I would not want another life. I'm so thankful the Lord has called me to be a missionary. I pray if it's his will that we would stay there the rest of our lives. But I know it's because we're in the center of his will. If he changed that tomorrow, I'm sure we can have that same peace, that same contentment, as long as we're following his will. A missions-minded church seeks the direction of the Lord in every step. Not our will, but his will. And lastly, we see that when we seek him, he reveals that will. Notice in the same Acts 16, verse 8, we'll be finishing. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Two different times, God said no to Paul. This time, because he had a different place for him. He had a different place for Paul. We see that collective groan from the Macedonian call, help us. We know Paul eventually ends up in Europe. And that missions trip to Europe eventually changes the whole world. Our modern missions basically came out of that mission trip. And, you know, Paul could have sat there and said, God, I want to go to Asia. There's a great need in Asia. But he listened to God. He listened to the Holy Spirit. And even though it was a good intention, God had a better plan for his life. And he revealed that. As a church, I encourage you, if you're a deacon, if you're a member, be a part of the missions here. Be a part of praying about missionaries. Be a part of going on missions trip. Be a part of being a part of missions conference. God needs everyone to be involved. But be praying about your kids. Be praying about your life. There's such a great need out there. I had very little skills to offer the Lord other than just my heart. And I still have very little skills. But yet, I'm so thankful God has allowed me to go and be his representative. There's so many people who could do the same. I know some of us think, well, I can never do that. God can do anything. I'm living proof of that. There are 7.7 billion people in the world today. How many have never heard the gospel at least one time? How many have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel? What can you do? Can you pray? Obviously. Can we give? Not just money, but our time, our talents, our efforts. Absolutely. Can we go? We most certainly can go. Think about that this week. Think about what we talked about this morning individually, but think about as a church what we can do even more in 2019 for world missions. I know the opportunities are endless. If you pray, God will reveal. This evening, when we think about world missions, let's think about and remember that our missions-minded church has the purpose to expand the kingdom of God through the building up of local churches just like this. Pastor Brandon drove me over to the new property that we're praying about and have the contract on. I'm praying that if God's will, that will all work out. I start thinking about how many future missionaries will come out of that church, how many people will see that church and come to church and be saved, and their kids will grow up in the school and want to be future missionaries, and how we can get behind them and send them along. And I also see that, boy, if we just ask the Lord, He'll direct our steps. That's my favorite verse as a kid, Proverbs 3:5-6. And all that ways, acknowledge Him, He shall direct our paths. Tonight, where is your path going tonight? Have you asked the Lord to direct it? I know He will. Let's pray this evening. Close your eyes and bow your heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been a joy to be in your house. So many familiar faces. And I know this is a theme that is not foreign to them, Lord, but one we've heard often. Yet I pray through your Holy Spirit it could be stirred afresh and new. I pray that even tomorrow as we enter our jobs and get back into our routines, Lord, you would help us see how we can make changes in our own lives. How we can, Lord, we can as a church reach this world for you. It's so dark. It's so needy. Lord, I pray for young people tonight that they would consider your call. They consider what they can do for you. There's so many ways they could serve you. Lord, I pray for the parents that are training these young people that you would touch their hearts and be willing to encourage their kids to seek after you. And then collectively as a church, Lord, I pray you would continue to guide Pastor Pittman and the church towards your commission, Lord, so that we would fulfill this great unfinished task.
Father, tonight, as we consider our own hearts, Lord, we know that you don't use a dirty vessel. And maybe there's some of us that need to change to be more in your image. But as we're changing, Lord, if we give you our heart, would you direct our steps? Would you use us in whatever fashion you can? Lord, as we begin to reflect more of your light, use us more and more. Father, to see our neighbors saved, our family members trust you. Lord, our family will never want to be saved unless we're like you. I pray that you touch our hearts for change tonight. Lord, I ask that you touch our hearts for serving you. Lord, everyone can pray, and yet we get so many other priorities. Even, Lord, some of us could go. Would you touch our hearts? As Lord, we have young people already preparing for the ministry, for missions. Would you bless them? Put a hedge about them. Lord, help us to pray for them and even give to send them. Lord, in all the missions trips, Lord, the construction trip, Lord, the couples trip, the medical trips, Lord, help us to never forget the world is lost. And Lord, we have the truth, but we know you don't want us to be selfish. So would you speak to our hearts tonight? In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.